This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
8 Jaguars, 4 weeks. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving away 2 Jaguars every Thursday starting January 8th. Club Serrano members, play to earn entries for your chance to win a new luxury crossover SUV. Join for free today and don't miss your chance to drive off in a Jaguar. More cars, more chances to win. Only at Yamava Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamava.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio. We are live and local here on the road. Good morning, good afternoon, Richmond. It's 12 noon, and I'm AWOD. This is the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM, and we've got a packed show for you guys today. Of course, we are proud to be Richmond's home for the most football talk in town. You got the Junks 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. Monday through Friday. Michael Phillips, MP on the mic, 10 to noon. I'm Adam Epstein, AWOD Radio, 12 to 3. Grant and Danny drive you home, and Grant Paulson will join us on the show today. If you were listening to the Junkies driving around Richmond this morning, you might have heard the big announcement. Football Fest 3 this Saturday, and J.P. Flame from the Junkies will be joining us with as one of our special guests alongside Ken Oxendine, Fred Smoot, Tim Hightower, and also local representatives from all of the universities in the state of Virginia. That is Football Fest 3 this Saturday, 6 to 10 p.m. at River City Roll. I cannot wait. It's right around the corner. We have to thank our sales staff for all the work that they've done behind the scenes. Thanks to Taylor Long Properties, Commercial Real Estate, Bud Light, Cowan Gates, and Renewal by Anderson. It's here this Saturday, Football Fest 3, 6 to 10 p.m. You know, I'm here at Commander's Training Camp. It's AWOD on the road. And I had a few of the reporters say, AWOD, I've heard some of your promos. I heard the Junkies talking about it. What is Football Festival? It is simply the only combination of sports and music that you're going to find in town. We will have Mackenzie Ryan to perform her original music and covers. And then she'll sing the national anthem before we start our full football season preview show. High school, college, and the NFL. Gone Country is our headline band. They'll be performing on the stage at 9 p.m. I'll have Fred Smoot, Tim Hightower, JP from the Junkies, Ken Oxendine as well as my special guest that will join us on stage. We also have a bunch of prizes and swag that we're going to give out and some games we're adding this year. We have the race heard around the world between Ryan Clary and Stubb, and we will have the first ever Major League Eating Competition, the minor leagues of eating competitions at River City Roll for our Sticky Nug Eating Competition. Who can down the most sticky nugs in the allotted time? It's just going to be a couple bucks to enter, and we're going to give away a big prize to the winner. That's all going down this Saturday at River City Roll, 6 to 10 p.m. prime time, under the lights in Scott's Edition. For Football Fest 3, we'll have t-shirts, we'll have sunglasses, we're going to have koozies. I mean, you're going to walk away. And I learned this from my experience in D.C., my experience with, you know, NBC4, with the Redskins, with the Commanders. When you throw an event, the number one thing that I want to come away with is a goodie bag. Right? I mean, I think back to, like, all the best birthday parties I went to as a kid. As a kid, you didn't realize how big of a deal it is. Then you're an adult, and you just... goodie bags are the best. And so you come to Football Festival, you'll be sent home with a lot of swag for you to enjoy throughout the season and a little bit of knowledge about the upcoming Commanders and NFL season. But we're live from Commanders training camp, and we have a packed show today. Like I mentioned, we'll be joined by Grant Paulson, get his thoughts on the joint practice. Mitch Tischler will join us at 1:30, and then we'll have Quan Martin and Ben Sennett. Ben Sennett, the second-year tight end, competing in that room with Zach Ertz and John Bates to try to get on the field more this season. Really enjoyed my conversation with him after practice yesterday. And then today, after the joint practice ended at about 10:30, we grabbed starting safety Quan Martin. Asked him about the experience in the playoff game last year. I mean, he had the play of the season, maybe, in the pick six that helped the Commanders get the win over the Detroit Lions on the road in the divisional championship game of this year's postseason. But we wanted to start the show by kind of setting the scene for you here at Commanders training camp. So we were live yesterday, and we got to watch the walkthrough. And, Stubb, walkthroughs in the NFL might be the most fun thing I've ever seen, and it's probably the most fun thing ever if you're in the NFL. Because think about it. You're out there with your boys, and you're going through plays that you've designed like it's backyard football. So to paint a picture for you, all the guys are wearing these T-shirt jerseys, shorts, and like Jordans or like Nike boots or sneakers, whatever fashion they want to show off, and they kind of just walk through the plays, maybe a slight jog, and Josh Johnson loves to throw the ball. Jaden wasn't really throwing, and he was just kind of pump faking, but I loved watching Josh Johnson work in the walkthrough. It was like, that's what a pro's pro looks like. And looking back on this Marcus Mariota injury, he was not at, you know, playing at the joint practice. I actually would not expect him to be back by Monday Cincinnati game if he's not even on the field yet. Josh Johnson was a great signing, especially with Sam Hartman's struggles in the preseason. You need a backup. Mariota's not ready yet. The Josh Johnson signing, sneaky, looking back on it, was a great move to start this offseason, and I thought he was a pro's pro watching him in the joint practice. But, like, I really do think that that's, it's got to be one of the coolest things if you're actually in the NFL to do a walkthrough like that, where you're just, you know you're target number three on this read or you're target number one on this one, but there's no live bullets. You're not going to get hurt, all right? The physicality of the game is taken out. Instead, it's just like backyard football, two-hand touch style with your friends. So that was yesterday, and then it was really cool. After practice ended, you know, I've told you, every day I've been here, I've ran into, like, a celebrity. You had Brian Baldinger, Adam Schefter, and SportsCenter were here, PFT from Barstool. Yesterday, it was one of my favorite movie stars, John Bernthal. John the Punisher was at training camp punishing the Commanders. No, he was hanging out. I thought it was really cool. He spoke to the media afterwards. We'll play a little clip of it later today about how much of a fan he is. And he talked about that when they won the game with the Hail Mary, he was like on the set in Morocco or something, and he found a TV and went nuts. But it was cool. I mean, he was a really cool guy, and he brought his son. And he got his son to hang out and throw a football for a second with Jaden Daniels. He had it looked like a good conversation with Dan Quinn. You never know who you're going to run into here at an NFL training camp. So that was yesterday. Today, a joint practice. Where did they get this idea? Here's Dan Quinn explaining an inter-squad scrimmage that took place earlier today.
We broke the team up into two. So we have a burgundy team, a gold team, talk about players, coaches, staff, strength and conditioning, equipment, training, like you name it. And part of it is developing leaders. There'll be different play callers, as we're going through it. But it's also about competing. Different looks, different matchups. And tomorrow we'll have a burgundy and gold game. And so we'll start at 9:30. We'll play a second quarter, try to work some situations in. We'll also work of some fourth quarter stuff to work some situations. So in your mind, think of like a joint practice, but it's just one team, you know, like splitting the teams up, different sidelines, you know, and then going to it. So
I thought it was a great game plan by Dan Quinn. He told the media how he knew that this was going to be a break here. He wanted to mix things up. Logan Paulson, who was a tight end for the Washington Commanders, now hosts the Take Command podcast, told me that he was on a Dan Quinn squad in Atlanta when he did this. And it really did, you know, create camaraderie, but also, like, it gets the competitive juices flowing. It did feel like everybody was talking smack throughout the game, on the sidelines, before it started, after it ended. Some good competitive spirit there, as they do have a while before the Monday game against the Bengals. Here's Dan Quinn, a little bit more detail about the importance of working on ramping things up in the entirety of preseason.
There's a lot, and I honestly love it. I really do. There's so many things. We could talk a long time on this with Candy. There's the development of the youngest players, who need the most experience. That's like, let's put that in like, you know, category A. First game, usually you see trying too hard, been waiting so long to do it. And then they get back to it. Okay, it's just football. I've been doing that. And it kind of settles down into it. And usually you see like the preseason game one to game two feeling more comfortable. I also love for the players that may not be in the starting roles to show, very rarely is every position group playing, you know, all the way through with, you know, is a clean season. But it's that demonstrated ability, like, to see it in the game. Certain positions are even more valuable than others for that evaluation, like a running back or an offensive or defensive lineman, because it is in more control here where did the guy make the tackle or not? Is he able to, you know, full-on blitz pickup or not? So those help because it gives you demonstrated evaluation in that spot. And then for the guys that will play a lot, it is important to get the full speed timing, the, you know, the connections down, the communication. It just kind of heightens up some. So to me, there's like three different buckets of players: the first year players who are going into the NFL, the players who are fighting for roster spots, you know, as backups and developmental, and then for the guys that are going to play a lot and some starters, to say, okay, this is an important part of it to get your timing and your readiness really together. So three different spots. That's why we try to customize it, which it can be a little tricky to do that. Who needs what? We try to give a lot of practice time to some players and then not as much to others, and then a lot of game. And then this week it won't be exactly the same as well. So I try to do it on an individual basis as much as I can to think of each player's readiness and also what do we need to see from them.
I thought that was a really cool answer from Dan Quinn. And we will be taking you close to the action throughout the show today. During the joint practice, I took a seat in the end zone. Really cool vantage point there to see the first team offense against the first team defense. And I did a little sideline broadcast for you, pretending to be Bram Weinstein or Kevin Harlan calling the Commanders joint practice. We'll bring that to you in the second half of the show today. But we are live from training camp in Ashburn, Virginia, with a packed show. Ben Sennett will join the show. Quan Martin will join the show. We'll bring on Mitch Tischler, Grant Polson, as well as any guys that can find walking around the facilities here as we're live and local till 3 p.m. here on AWOD Radio. This is the new sports radio, 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM, Richmond's home for the Washington Commanders. You can hear every game right here on 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. Don't go anywhere. Don't touch that dial. I'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
8 Jaguars, 4 weeks. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving away 2 Jaguars every Thursday starting January 8th. Club Serrano members, play to earn entries for your chance to win a new luxury crossover SUV. Join for free today and don't miss your chance to drive off in a Jaguar. More cars, more chances to win. Only at Yamava Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamava.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new sports radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. Phone lines are open, 833-804-0910, 833-804-0910. If you want to ask me a question, we were here for the joint practice. We witnessed it all. I'll be recapping it as well as being joined by a couple Commanders who need to have a good season. Tight end Ben Sennett and safety Quan Martin. I really loved the conversation I had with both those guys. Stubb, you got to pull the beginning of the Quan Martin segment and just turn it into a promo. He was just hype about my name being AWOD. I don't know why, but you could hear the beginning of that interview. He just loves that my name was AWOD. We bring Michael Phillips on now for a little Commanders Crosstalk. MP's back in the studios in Richmond, Virginia. What's going on, MP?
Feeling good. Been enjoying all your coverage, and I'm excited to hear about this scrimmage because, man, we are learning so much about this year's team.
Yeah, Michael, first, though, I do need to let you in on something, and Stubb can chime in on this as well. Michael Phillips and AWOD are viewed as two different people, two different style of journalists, two different style of radio hosts. I thought it was hilarious. When Michael Phillips was here, he knows I'm going to tell everyone. They were asking, MP, are you going to take the Washington Post job? Hey, I could put in a good word for you. MP, Washington Post, they're hiring someone. You'd be the perfect fit. You know what people did when they came up to me today? They said, I can't believe they let you back here for another day. That's the way they treat me. It's, I can't believe they let you in the door for MP. It's, oh, let's get you a new job.
You made it back though. You got a second round. You got Quan Martin gassing you up. I think things are good for AWOD out there in Ashburn.
Yeah. So what was a surreal moment for me was yesterday after the practice, which was a walkthrough, it was quick. I had a scheduled interview with Ben Sennett. So I grabbed Ben Sennett, and I'm talking to him, and we're going to air that for you probably next segment. It's a great conversation with the young tight end. As I'm talking with him, out of the corner of my eye, I noticed the Punisher. I noticed one of the characters from The Bear. I noticed the character from We Own the Night, John Bernthal. And I noticed him right away because I'm such a big fan of his work, and I'm like a Hollywood head. I love movies and TV shows. I was, like, stunned, and I tried to, like, continue the conversation with Ben Sennett. If the end of the interview is not great, it's because I was distracted by the Punisher, John Bernthal.
Who is, it turns out, a giant Commanders fan. You put a great clip on social media. He's talking about watching the games in Morocco in the middle of the night, man. That's cool stuff.
Yeah, I had known he's been a diehard Commanders fan because when I was working in D.C., Frank Hanrahan, who's like a D.C. sports reporter, was like a childhood friend of his and used to always say how, Bernthal is a diehard Commanders fan. But, yeah, I did think it was cool that he got to bring his son, and that's what it was all about, really, was, you know, letting his son have this experience. He said, yeah, you know, I brought my son here. He got to meet Jaden Daniels, and then he went to football practice, and he's a quarterback. The coolest part was Bernthal telling people that anytime he's on a set, if it's a Sunday, he's going to find a way to find a TV so he can watch the Commanders play. We got Matthew McConaughey, and we got the Punisher, John Bernthal, repping the burgundy and gold.
We got so many celebrities. This is such a better era than what was it like, you know, Alan Greenspan was like in the owner's box, and, you know, he had Tom Cruise, too, before Tom Cruise went totally crazy. Andrea Mitchell was like in the box with Dan Snyder. Right? We got to get away from political guys. No disrespect, Wolf Blitzer. I love you. But we're moving on to real celebrities in the Jaden Daniels era.
MP on the mic with us here for a little crosstalk. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio. So, Michael, let me ask you a journalist question here. Because I think I know what will get more clicks. What do you think the fan base wants to hear about today? Reactions to the joint practice, or the fact that Terry McLaurin was on the sidelines watching it, standing next to Adam Peters?
Yeah, we're getting antsy with Terry. Clock's ticking. I think we all see the time frame here. Second preseason game is Monday night, 6 days away. All the starters will play in that one. That's the dress rehearsal game that they have designated. And then they're going to sleepwalk their way through the third one against Baltimore after a joint practice that Saturday. When they break after the Baltimore game, they're going to do their cuts, and then they're going to start installing the week one playbook with the 53 the next day. That feels like it's a little ways away from now. That's 13 days away from now, Adam, and that's when the absences matter. That's when it impacts the product you're going to see week one on the field against the New York Giants. There's 13 days left before we got to slam the panic button and say, what does Terry's absence potentially mean against the New York Giants? And that's when things get scary.
Yeah. And MP, I claim to the audience, I'm holding out of all Terry conversations. Stubb knows this, but it's not a game day or a game recap. All right, I'm holding out of Terry talk when there's games to be played. But today was just a joint practice, and there is an update. I'm holding out from Terry talk, but Terry McLaurin is holding in and was seen on the sideline. That was the first time he was seen watching a practice, not coming onto the practice field signing autographs afterwards. A conversation I had, I'll say an anonymous reporter. All right, today, you know how the Junkies have their Terry-o-meter?
Of course.
And they're at about 85% he'll play week one. The conversation we had is, it's very serious that if he misses week one, He's out week two also because of the quick turnaround, being it's a Thursday night game at the Green Bay Packers.
That's a big one, too. That's a matchup of two playoff teams from last year, two teams that are going to get the measuring stick really early on. Where do they stand this season? The worst-case scenario, of course, is losing to the Giants, which would color everything in the short week, the potential of starting 0-2. Now, I don't think that'll happen even without Terry. I still have confidence this team could beat the New York Giants, or at least will be favored against the New York Giants. But you're absolutely right. Going to Lambeau short week, you would feel the absence there, and you would feel the him missing from that game. Man, it's we're getting into a tense period of negotiations here. We're also, with the numbers we're hearing, they're going to have to get creative in terms of how whoever saves face is going to save face. And I for the first time yesterday, was doing actual, serious text people and ask questions research. What does it look like if he does a 6-week, a 7-week, an 8-week holdout, which you sometimes see guys play the bare minimum that they need to play and sit out those first weeks? That's a scary situation in a season where we all acknowledge the margin for error is a lot slimmer than it was against last year's schedule. It is a tougher schedule, and every game is going to potentially swing whether they make the playoffs or not.
Yeah, no, you're so right about that. And every preseason game, every practice that the offense struggles, it's going to be highlighted that Terry McLaurin should be out there. But the story of today's show will be the joint practice, and I'll give you my thoughts on it. I'll bring you closer to the action with a sideline report. But Michael, I think overall, this is just another example of Dan Quinn's experience, is him being a leader of men, having great stops in the past in Seattle with Pete Carroll, in Atlanta where he made it to the Super Bowl, in Dallas, using his experience to come up with a creative way to get the competition flowing and everybody's energy juiced up for another practice here, as they had this big lull before the Bengals.
You made a phenomenal point as well, Adam. This is about developing coaches as well, with an eye towards, if this team has success this year, it's probably going to lose some coaching talent, and next man up, next coach up mentality. How do you get guys ready to assume bigger roles next year? How do you develop guys so that they can move from assistant coaches to position coaches, from position coaches to coordinators, and then ultimately from coordinators to head coaches? And we saw Joe Witt and Cliff Kingsbury grab the headsets today and take on that role. We've seen other coaches allow them to do that during the preseason games themselves, which of course is just further proof that the coaches don't actually care about the preseason games. But today, the opportunity for them to experience and learn in those game day roles, and I'm sure they will debrief with Dan Quinn later today on how that went. That's an important element of what's happening here, because this is an operation that needs to build for sustainable success. We talk about all that time. Jaden Daniels is not a one-hit wonder. How do you make sure, even if Cliff Kingsbury leaves, you're still in the best position to continue to contend every year?
Yeah, I totally agree with what Michael's saying. For example, I think the entire fan base knows the names Cliff Kingsbury, Joe Witt Jr. When Cliff Kingsbury leaves to become a head coach, who replaces him? I don't think the fan base knows that name. Dan Quinn does. Adam Peters does. This is another opportunity to elevate those guys that are next in line.
It's invaluable preparation work for them, and I'm excited for the rest of your show, for these interviews, for the updates from the practice itself, because we can learn so much in these controlled situations. In the preseason, you get whatever gets dealt, right? Third and long, you get that. Third and short, you get that. Vanilla playbook, all that. They control the situations today. They set up the things they want to evaluate today. The coaching staff knew what it wanted to look for in these specific second and fourth quarter situations today, and was evaluating guys accordingly as we get to cut day, as we approach the most important preseason game, the second one next Monday night.
That's Michael Phillips, MP on the mic, can be heard from 10 to 12 noon every day right here on The Fan. Michael, thanks for joining me. I'll see you tomorrow, and I can't wait to share a drink with you on Saturday.
Saturday night under the lights. Let's do it.
Football Fest 3, Saturday from 6 to 10 p.m. at River City Roll. But it's AWOD on the road live from training camp. When we return, my conversation with tight end Ben Sennett on The Fan. Welcome back to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. Broadcasting live from Commanders training camp in Ashburn, Virginia. And joining me right now, second-year tight end Ben Sennett. What's going on, Ben?
How's it going?
How are you?
I'm doing really well.
So I want to start with getting your name correctly, because I feel like we've had callers say it differently, different hosts say it differently. How should we be saying it on 910 The Fan?
Sinnott.
Say that one more.
Sinnott.
Sinnott. Did I get it right?
Yeah. I don't even correct people anymore. I couldn't care less at this point. But yeah, it's technically pronounced Sinnott.
So let's start back last season, your rookie season. I don't think you could have ever imagined you step into a brand new team and you win 12 games to get to the conference championship. What was that like?
Yeah, it was an amazing experience. Being able to come in here and have the success that we did as a rookie, it's obviously something that doesn't come around too much. And you hear these vets talking, and a lot of them hadn't made playoffs before. And so just lucky and grateful to be a part of an organization that was able to do that. And it was such a blast to be a part of.
Did you feel like you had a welcome to the NFL moment that you could point to from last season?
Yeah, definitely. I think the one moment that I had, it was against Philly. I think it was my first play of the game on a fourth down. We called a QB sneak or a – I don't think it was a QB sneak. I think we aligned QB sneak, but it was just a downhill run. Fourth and one. I'm freezing cold. Coming off the sidelines, and it was Brandon Graham, I think, lined up, just ran me over, made the tackle. Definitely a moment where I was like, okay, like this is the real deal. So that was one that comes to my mind that I think about. So hopefully you can't find it.
Well, good news. That means you get two more chances against them, at least this upcoming regular season. What did you focus on improving this offseason?
Yeah, I think going into year two, I wanted to just be able to play fast. And play confident, I think, were the two biggest things. As far as specifics, I wanted to work on top of route and just bringing my feet and keep my feet in the ground. But just being able to go out there and have fun and play fast. You kind of come in that first year and your head's spinning and you're not really sure what's going on. So being able to go into year two confident, and I feel like I've been able to do that, and it's been a lot more fun.
As you're building and you're gaining confidence and getting more experience here, can you compare yourself to a player that's playing, that's established, that you want to be like? Like, at your best, you can be like this guy that we would recognize.
Yeah, I would say it's hard. I don't know if I could pinpoint a guy. I think in the draft process, I really like the way guys like Kittle play, guys like Sam Laporta are two that I really like to emulate. Those are good guys who've had success in this league, and I think are guys that I would say are – really good players and some that I want to emulate for sure.
How have Zach Ertz and John Bates helped you develop?
Yeah, obviously two guys who are the best at what they do. John in the run game is the best blocking tight end in the league, and being able to pick his brain and what he's seeing on technique, what he's seeing on all of that kind of stuff has been awesome. And same with Zach, what he does in the pass game and the way he can feel coverage and win against man, and it's awesome being able to pick their brain. And every day it's just specific things. Well, how did this look? What'd you think about that? All of that. So it has been a blessing to be in the room for sure.
Here with year two tight end Ben Sinnott, I'm Adam Epstein. This is AWOD Radio on The Fan. So what do you guys try to accomplish in a walkthrough compared to a practice? Can you kind of explain that to my audience?
Yeah, just being in playing in such a physical sport, I think doing walkthroughs and doing jog-throughs like we do is so important mentally. Seeing reps and making hit and making combo blocks and call-outs and communication and just seeing a defense in front of you but not actually getting that physicality and taking hits on your body, it's super important mentally and physically, being able to visualize things and seeing and feel yourself do it, just not getting beat up by doing it. So it's super important mentally, and yeah, it's something that's super important to us, and obviously helps us develop as a team.
Mm-hmm. Joined by tight end Ben Sinnott. So as you're working into the lineup here throughout preseason, into the regular season, and we want to see you guys out there and have so much success, but there's so much different expectations when you have the success of last season. How do you clear out the outside noise and just focus on getting better every day?
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what we're doing. Just being able to focus on what we're doing internally, not really worry about what the other saying, what the projections are talking about, and just focus on getting better and competing within ourselves is the biggest thing that we focus on every day. And we got such talented guys, and being able to go against those looks and the defense versus the offense, and just being able to compete and grow as a team rather than thinking about anyone else.
Ben, really appreciate the time. I want to tell you a little bit about myself. So I'm a season ticket holder, was for 17 years, diehard fan. And on the show, I love to talk about trick plays. I've been asking for more every single week. It's my favorite thing. You had one of the best trick plays of the season. Can you talk me through the punt that you caught in the playoff game, man? How did that all come together?
Yeah, I mean, it is something that we saw for a long time during the season. The first time we played them, they showed a specific look, and we're talking about it, and it's a constant thing of special teams coordinator comes up with the idea. This is the look we want to run it against. Will the head coach clear it? What situation do we want to run it in? So there's so much stuff that goes into it. I mean, I've probably, before running that in the game, we probably ran it 30, 40 times, the same thing, over and over and over, just feeling confident and being able to trust it. And it was actually up the second game we played them, but they didn't give us a specific look. And finally, like, our first punt in the playoff game, NFC Championship, it comes up and, like, my heart's beating because I know we're getting into it. Jeremy Reeves is the one who makes the call and like signals out to the punter and the gunners, and I hear him check into it, and I'm like, all right, here we go. It was a perfect look and all that, so it ended up working out perfectly, and Tress put a great ball out there. But yeah, that was by far my favorite memory from that year. It's such a cool moment, and to be able to do it in an important moment as well, and shift the game at that point was really cool.
Huge highlight, great play, man. Lastly here, is there one thing that you could point to tell the fans that you think Jaden has improved on from year one to year two?
I mean, it's hard to say. I think something I've been very impressed with is just how he processes the game, the way he sees it, and the ability to make checks, call out different defenses, and it's been really impressive the way he's been able to do it. And I think that's the biggest thing. He sees the game so well, and it's super impressive seeing it.
Good luck this season.
Yeah, thank you so much.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
8 Jaguars, 4 weeks. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving away 2 Jaguars every Thursday starting January 8th. Club Serrano members, play to earn entries for your chance to win a new luxury crossover SUV. Join for free today and don't miss your chance to drive off in a Jaguar. More cars, more chances to win. Only at Yamava Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamava.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
Welcome back. What up, what up, what up? It's AWOD. Live and local here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. Throughout the summer, I've been trying to take you closer to the action with our AWOD on the Road series. We've been to Charlotte, North Carolina for ACC kickoff, to Ashburn, Virginia for the Commanders training camp, 3 days at the start of training camp in July, and we're back here for 2 more days yesterday and today, broadcasting live from Commanders training camp in Ashburn, Virginia. So we just heard from tight end Ben Sennett. Now, Stubb, I thought that interview was fantastic. He did finally let everybody know how to correctly pronounce his name there, Sennett. But I really just thought it was cool him describing what it took to get that trick play to work against the Eagles. You know, something they worked on 40, 50 times that they actually had against the Eagles lined up for it in the 5-touchdown game that they came back and won, but didn't have the exact look that they wanted. And then, like you said, boom, conference divisional championship game, right? Conference championship game, a moment to flip the game, and he comes through on the throw from Tress Way. So I thought that was really cool with Ben Sennett. But you could, in my mind, you could hear John Bernthal in the background. Could you hear John Bernthal talking to Zach Ertz in the background, Stubb?
A little bit. He has such an iconic voice.
He has that iconic voice, yeah.
You were shouting out his roles, and I just need to shout out Baby Driver, my favorite movie of all time, which he gets the first, like, he's in the first 10 minutes of that movie. I love him as well as you do.
Yeah, so I'm a big John Bernthal fan, and so it brought me to look up who the biggest Commanders fans were in Hollywood. We'll break that down on Netflix with AWOD.
Netflix, the best of streaming services, TV, movies, books, podcasts, and more. We've got you covered on Netflix.
So we are talking about all the biggest Commanders fans in Hollywood because American actor John Bernthal, who's 48 years old, who's from Washington, D.C., who will be in the upcoming Christopher Nolan The Odyssey movie and will be in Spider-Man Brand New Day, was here at Commanders training camp hanging out with Zach Ertz, had his son there, throwing a football with Jaden Daniels. I got a photo of the Punisher, John Bernthal, hanging out with head coach Dan Quinn. So I wanted to see if there's anything he's done before 2010, and I'm not really seeing anything except for it appears that he was on How I Met Your Mother in a certain role smaller role
that.
In the original Night at the Museum, which I did not remember. But I think a lot of people know that he kind of became a star, or at least more well-known, from his role in The Walking Dead. And he was so good in the first season of The Walking Dead. Spoiler alert, he was so good they killed him at the end of the first season. But he was so cool. He was Shane in The Walking Dead. Everybody knows Rick's the main character for all what, 7 or 8 seasons they had. Well, the show starts with like Rick being dead, and Shane had like taken over his life, taken over his wife, his family, was like raising his child. And then when Shane and Rick butt heads at the end of season one, it's like an epic showdown. It's one of my favorite scenes in the entire show's history, The Walking Dead. But that's where he like got his big break, and then went on to star in 100 different things. I do think The Walking Dead was just like such an iconic performance that I don't know that he's been better in anything else, but he just has like these small roles that he ends up being awesome in The Bear, which there have been 3 seasons now. He plays a character that's been dead for the entire season. He's the main character's dead older brother. But anytime they do flashbacks, he's freaking awesome. He's freaking awesome. You wanted to shout out Baby Driver. He was really good in The Accountant and The Accountant 2. And Marvel fans all know him as The Punisher.
Yeah, I think he has a little bit to do in Sicario as well.
Yeah, he's good in Sicario. Movie. He's also really good in a small role in The Wolf of Wall Street. You might have to even rewatch that movie again to notice him. He's the guy that does like the drug deal that's like busted towards the beginning, and then ends up working for the Wolf. He had a good small role in the King Richard movie that Will Smith starred in. So he ends up in these like small roles that he just kicks out of the park.
Yeah, he's so good in them. But man, is he a good Punisher? Like absolutely stellar. Both in that second season of Daredevil, where he shows up, is some of the best.
Well, that's
superhero
that's the
stuff
other
out
thing.
There.
His work as the Punisher has shown up in Daredevil. I think it showed up in the other show they did that was a combination of Daredevil, Iron Cage,
The Defenders.
I think he shows up in The Defenders, and has he shown up in a Marvel movie yet, or is that the next thing?
That will be the next one. I mean, he had his own solo Punisher show, but I don't think he's... I think so far, Daredevil's the only one that's crossed over into movie yet.
Right, and that's the thing. If Daredevil's crossed over into a Spider-Man movie, I think the next thing is for the Punisher to show up in a Spider-Man movie and have it be John Bernthal. So he's one of my favorite actors. That's why I was just losing my mind yesterday when I saw him, and I wanted to play you guys a clip. Chick Hernandez from CBS here in Washington, D.C., was able to actually ask John Bernthal what it's like being a Commanders fan on different movie sets.
I've been all over this world making movies, Morocco, Ireland, Greece, you know, all over North Africa, wherever it is. No matter what time of day, I'm finding a way to watch those games. And over the years, it has been hard, but right now, it's payback time, you know? It's payback time. And I was on a set last year with that Hail Mary pass, went running through the streets of Morocco, grabbing people, you know? The truth is the truth. You can't mess with this team, and everything's right. Everything's right with this team.
I love that. He's one of us, Stubb. He's one of us. Lunas is in his mind with the Hail Mary. I thought the coolest thing was him trying to explain to his son what it was like. He pointed to, like, he said 74, 82, 83, 89, 92. He's trying to tell his son that the excitement you had last year, that was almost every year in the 80s and the 90s. So he's certainly one of the top Commanders fans. I do think in terms of Hollywood stardom, McConaughey's the top dog. for sure. Jeffrey Wright is low-key becoming an A-list actor. Stubbs, did you ever see that movie he did, American Fiction, I think it's called?
Yep. Oh, I love really Jeffrey Wright. Yeah, it's a really good movie. He's great. He's been a great addition to the Wes Anderson cast line. He's really fun in all of those. And
yeah, he's
he
a
was
diehard
in
Commanders fan.
The second Hunger Games
about them.
Movie. He was really good in all of that. He's consistently fantastic.
Google tells me that Josh Brolin is a Commanders fan. I have not seen him at a game. I have heard Taraji P. Henson. We all know Scott Van Pelt, SportsCenter Live, is a diehard fan. Kevin Durant, Wale, and Dale Earnhardt are pretty easy ones. Francis Tiafoe was, of course, wearing burgundy and gold Lululemon when he was at the City Open. Those are... Oh, I want to give Laz Alonso a shout-out as well. He's come on the show before when I was in D.C. He is in The Boys, but he's in Avatar. He's in a lot of things. Laz Alonso, the 51-year-old actor who's also from D.C., went to Howard, is a diehard Commanders fan. So, you know, whether or not the last 30 years have been awful or not, we're out here, Stub. We got representatives all around the globe and in Hollywood. But that was just that was the ultimate crossover for me. My only interaction with Bernthal is I filmed him getting interviewed, and then as he was walking away, he played a really cool role in this show that you probably have not seen, Stub, because you haven't seen The Wire. But they did basically a follow-up show to that in Baltimore. It was called We Own This City. And it's only one season, and it's supposed to be like a 6-episode limited series on the rise and fall of the Baltimore Police Department. And so John Bernthal plays Sergeant Wayne Jenkins. And if you haven't seen the show, you need to check it out. But there's this one day where I think he's like a crooked cop. He's stolen money, and he's showing up, and he's literally drinking a beer. And he tells everyone, "It's Wayne Jenkins Day!" And it's like this iconic line. And so as John Bernthal was walking off the field, I said, "John, it's Wayne Jenkins Day." And he looked at me, he smiled, and he goes, "Wayne Jenkins Day." And I said, "That was a great role." And he said, "I appreciate that, man. Thanks for the support." So that was just like a bucket list item for me. I mean, he's just been one of my favorite actors since that first season of The Walking Dead. Certainly, though, if you're a Marvel fan, you know him from The Punisher. And you should check it out, his work in the Ben Affleck movie, The Accountant 1 and The Accountant 2. Stubb, anyone in Hollywood that we missed that you wanted to give a shout-out to that you think is a diehard Commanders fan?
You got all the big ones. I think, to me, like, Matthew McConaughey is absolutely the number one. Jeffrey Wright was a very fun surprise. And I am seeing a couple more people back up the Josh Brolin thing. Happy to have Thanos on the team, I guess.
Yeah, Josh Brolin, hasn't he been the only one to play a villain in both DC and Marvel?
He played... No, because he was Cable. That was also Marvel.
Oh, that was also Marvel. So yeah. He's basically played two different villains in two big-time Marvel movies that made a lot of money.
Yeah, dude, he's great. Yeah. He was just in Weapons, which I caught last night. Fantastic movie. You're not a horror guy, but that movie was incredible, dude.
Dude, we might have to do a second Netflix, because I was just talking to my mom about this. You know my parents are big movie fans. Horror has become the new thriller. It's become the new blockbuster movie.
It's taken over this
Sinners,
year. Yeah.
Sinners, Weapons. I've heard great things about The Monkey, which is a horror movie.
That was not great. I've heard bad things about that. But Final Destination Bloodlines is kind of the best Final Destination movie. And I saw a movie called Hard Eyes, which was really fun. And Him is coming out next month, the football horror movie that looks fantastic. Yeah. It's a big year for the genre.
So you're a movie guy. Why do you think horror is taking off right now?
I'm giving so much credit to Jordan Peele, post Get Out. I think the elevated horror, Ari Aster too, with like Hereditary and Midsommar, just very successful movies, very well made. Audiences love them. Horror is the best bet you can have in the box office. That has been true forever.
I think that's a big part of it. Like as soon as The Terrifier made money.
Yeah,
they were like, "All right, we gotta just crank out these slasher films.
Yeah,
let's
but
just
now
have a lot of people die.
We're elevating.
It's your generation, Stub. You guys love gore.
No, dude,
you
I'm
guys
t-
love
this is,
to see people
no.
Bleed.
This goes back to the 70s and 80s. Up before that, it's been box office success forever. It's finally getting elevated. I mean, it was a bit in like the 80s and especially the 70s, but we're getting really, really interesting horror, and it's my favorite genre. So that's making me happy.
Yeah. No weapons. Is supposed to be really good. Julia Garner, who was awesome in Ozark. So how many stubs are you giving it?
It's 4.5 stubs.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's not
theaters.
Quite the five of Sinners.
And what did you give Sinners? Okay, Sinners was a five. Yeah, because I agreed on Sinners being a five out of five.
But Weapons is certainly the second best movie of the year.
Yeah. And no, I watched watched Sinners with my mom, and when she found out it was a horror, she wasn't really into it. And at the end of it, she was like, that's a horror that also had like drama,
it's
action.
Just so
like,
good.
Horror is just so, it's, I guess, so broad that, you know, as long as some people die, it can be considered horror, but you can also have so many other elements to it that makes it interesting.
Yeah, they don't all need to be like crappy remakes of franchises from forever ago. We're finally getting good stuff.
Yeah. We don't need the the Winnie the Pooh horror movie. Or the
Steamboat
Santa
Willie
Claus horror
one
movie.
Or
yeah.
Just
but
the
Weapons,
garbage.
I've heard really good things. Stubb just gave it a 4.5 out of 5 stubs. You're listening to AWOD on the Fan. Don't go anywhere, don't touch that dial. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.